Money FM 89.3, the best of prime time. Powering your property on Money FM 89.3.
Well, new private home sales in Singapore rose nearly 71% in July from a month earlier. This is buyers returned to the market after the June holidays. Sales were boosted by AMO Residence in Ang Mo Kio, the sole new project launched in July and the largest suburban condominium development launched this year.
Well, analysts expect keen interest in upcoming launches after strong sales at the Ang Mo Kio condominium project. Let's find out more of what's happening in the industry now. Nicholas Mak, head of research and consulting at ERA Realty, is joining us on the phone lines for more of the market outlook as we move forward to the end of the year. Nicholas, home sales rebounding last month to the second highest level this year, so purchases of new private apartments up 71% from June. What does this mean?
Hi, Tim. I think we have to take this monthly statistics with some caution because monthly statistics tends to be a bit more volatile. There can be quite large swing in the percentage change. Take, for example, from this year, May to June, the developer sales of private housing units actually dropped 64%. So it dropped 64% in June, and in July, it increased by 71%. But if we look at the actual numbers terms, it's still all less than 1,000 units each month. So yes, there was a rebound in July, but the main contributor is the launch of the super popular condominium at Ang Mo Kio called Amor Residence. 372 units, 366 units reportedly sold in July, and that is one of the main contributors to the strong sales. So when we have one or two very popular condominium launch in that month, it can boost up the numbers quite significantly.
Right. Thank you for putting that in perspective for us, Nicholas, because I often do wonder if we're getting excited over nothing. So to what extent would you say that interest rate hikes, the global slowdown, concerns over all of these issues, they're finally going to catch up with us?
Well, I think it could, because some investors may be a bit more cautious and they may also price in, well, what happens if interest rate were to remain elevated, and they may look to other forms of perhaps safer type of investments. However, there are also some investors who have a longer holding horizons. Nowadays, most people who buy properties, they have to prepare to hold for at least 3 years to avoid paying the seller stamp duty. But some investors may be have even a 5 years or more longer holding horizon. So they may expect interest rate not to remain high for very long, because many governments around the world do want to avoid the economy going into a recession. And so when interest rates start to cause a bit too much economic pain, they may actually ease off. That means take their foot off the brake and let the economy continue to roll on. So perhaps these investors are expecting that eventually the government will ease off on the interest rate hikes. Mm-hmm. And so they are prepared to go in, put their money on the table and commit to real estate investments.
Nicholas, according to Goldman Sachs, Hong Kong home prices are set to go down by 20% in 2 years. New Zealand home prices are also falling for the first time in 11 years. How far do you see Singapore's bullish property sector stand out against our neighbors?
Well, actually, compared to our neighbors and some of those markets you mentioned, especially Hong Kong, Singapore property prices are less volatile, and our market cycles can also be shorter. Typically, it's between 5 years to 8 years. Compared to what you mentioned, like New Zealand, the prices has been increasing for 11 years, and that can be risky, because if you have a very long uptrend in property price growth, well, there's also a higher chance of a sharp price correction when there's an economic slowdown. And so in Singapore terms, when prices rise a bit too fast for too long, the government will come in with cooling measures. So in a way, that sort of moderates the rate of price increase, and it can also help the rate of price decline, because the higher you go, the sharper you fall. But in Singapore terms, well, prices hasn't risen really that high for too long.
Not yet anyway, right? But Nicholas, you mentioned the popularity of one particular development and how that drove up prices, the development in Ang Mo Kio Amor Residence. As you look at the market now, can we expect more of these types of property developments to drive up prices and to drive up volume as well?
Well, I think the Amor residence is a bit unique because it's located at a very popular housing estate of Ang Mo Kio, and there's not been any new condominium launches there for several years. I think moving forward, I see that there are about 10 private residential projects that are slated to be launched in the coming months. So they total up roughly about 3,700 over units. A few of them will probably attract a fair bit of investors' attention, like they could be launched in because they are located in places where there's not been any new launches for a while. For example, one of them is at Bedok, called Sky Eden. There's also some new locations, condominiums in new locations like in the Langtor area, which is somewhere near Yishun. So those are projects that could set new benchmark prices in those locations.
Considering everything that we know at this point, Nicholas, what would your advice to those who are looking to invest in property be at this point?
Well, I think it's first and foremost, the buyers need to know whether they are buying for their own occupation, their own stay, or is it for investment. If it is the former, the first one, then they will have to consider the needs of their family first, and also to look at their finances. Firstly, not to overstretch themselves because the current interest rates could still go up by another 75 basis point or maybe even another 1.5 percentage points. So they have to put that into considerations. Interest rates could remain at that high level for another perhaps a year or two. So just to be on the safe side, they have to factor that in. So I think that is one of the key considerations. The secondly is that if some of the buyers, they may find that some of these new launches, the prices might be a bit steep. So they can always look around in the market. There are other condominiums developments that are launched. They may be launched 1 or 2 years ago and they still have remaining units. Mm-hmm. And because they were launched some time back, so the prices may be lower than some of these new launches. Alternatively, they can also turn to the resale market. There are quite a lot of choices there, although in terms of locations, however, in some condominiums, maybe that not that many choices because some condominiums, the owners are actually preparing to go for on-block sale. When the on-block sale fever hits that condominium, most owners wouldn't be putting up their units on the resale market. So I think that is one of the things that people have to look out for.
Nicholas, let's talk about the rental market for a moment here because it's been seeing an increase steadily in the last 24 months with the pandemic having a large impact, of course, in the rental leasing sector. Can we expect the leasing market to remain tight for the coming months?
Well, I'm afraid so, Tim. Probably for the rest of this year or into early next year, because one of the causes of this tight rental market is actually the pandemic. At first, 2 years ago, we expect a lot of expats to leave Singapore because we expect the economy to soften and the job market to soften. Mm. But that didn't actually happen because the government put in a lot of schemes to try to support the employment market. And the pandemic also has some unexpected impact. For example, some local Singaporeans turn to the rental market. They start to rent because, like, for example, young people working from home, they find that their home are a bit too small, so they move out with their friends and rent some of these apartments. Like, for example, usually the HDB flats are more affordable. Another group of new tenants are actually the newly married couples who are waiting for their BTO flats to be completed, and the completion of BTO flats are delayed due to the supply chain disruption caused by the pandemic. So that's another group of renters. So I think as long as this situation, like for example, the completion of HDB BTO flats are delayed, we will still see demand from the young couples. In fact, we might even see more because now that social distancing has been eased, there can be more weddings to be held. So we are going to see more people getting married. They still can't get their BTO flats, so they'll rent. And usually they'll rent HDB flats because it is more affordable.
However, how high can those rents go without the bubble bursting? I mean, even if demand goes up, there must be a ceiling where we would see the rise actually slow down, right?
Yes, I think there would be some pain point because if, let's say, rentals were to continue to rise, there will come a certain point where some of these tenants who have a choice of alternative accommodation, like, for example, well, they don't move out of their parents' home, they won't, if the rents are too high, they'll just stay put. But I think we need to also put something else in context because this increase in rental rates, both in the private housing and HDB market, is something that happens in the last 1.5 years and it's a bit unusual. because for the last 14 years before this sharp rise, residential rental rates actually has been quite flat. It's been little change. Take, for example, from 2007 to the middle of 2021, that's 14 years, the rentals actually have fluctuated up and down no more than 5%. And from the fourth quarter of 2019, okay, if we were to go back, it's actually 2.5% lower than end of 2012. So we actually see that rentals, the just before the beginning of COVID, been lower than 2007. That's 12 years. So for 12 years, rental actually went up, down, and then it actually ends a bit lower. So landlords have been actually, in a way, some of them might even be subsidizing the tenants, because landlords may have to pay property taxes and so on. And the landlords are willing to do it because they are banking on or counting on capital gains. They are banking on the prices of properties to go up so that they can sell the property and earn a profit, not so much from the rentals. So it's a rather unusual situation in the last 1.5 years that rentals has actually gone up quite significantly.
Where do you expect this to go?
Yes, I think that it could still rise because of the supply chain disruption. It could still rise for another 12 months or so. And then eventually, when we see more HDB flats being completed, more condominiums being completed, then it might start to ease off.
All right. Thank you very much for your analysis, Nicholas. Nicholas Mak, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Realty. Thanks for joining us on Primetime.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.